it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I am heroin.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
Hey, 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 welcome back, tokers and tokettes. And you non-toking lovers of liberty out there. Oh, yeah, let's see. Let's see if that'll work a little bit. Trying to help out some of the sound here so you can hear me over the music. And I think I found a new setting here that's going to help me a little bit with this, so see if that works. Looks like it's working. Anyway, welcome to Hour 2. I'm Radical Russ, hanging out in the Ardea Condominium Towers on the South Waterfront in beautiful Legal Potland, Oregon, looking straight out my window to beautiful Mount Hood in the distance. And what an amazing interview for me. I'm just going to bask in this for a second. If you missed the first hour, I got to speak with Hyapatia Lee. She is the stoner sex columnist at hightimes.com. But the reason I was so excited is because she was one of my favorite adult film stars from the 1980s. Growing up as a kid, and back in the day, we didn't have this fancy schmancy internet, man. It was collecting penthouses and hustlers and finding the occasionally stray VHS tape that you could find. It was not the golden age, let's just say that. Always liked Hyapatia Lee. I always thought she was so beautiful, so beautiful, and wonderful hair, beautiful eyes, and just always, let's just say I loved her performances, okay? So it was a trip that when I got the request, you know, she wanted to be on the show, get an interview. I'm like, whoa, tripping out. And I was nervous, and I don't usually get nervous for my interviews. The only other interview I've been nervous for was Sir Richard Branson. So that's like interesting company, right? So getting to speak to her today, she was so sweet. Oh my God, she was exactly how I might have imagined her to be personality-wise. Just sweet and loving and caring. And what a wonderful person. I can't wait till that October event. Check it out on hightimes.com. Or maybe it's at cannabiscup.com, but they're having a cup out there at the National Orange Center in San Bernardino, October 7th through 9th. And so she's going to be out there. I'm going to make my way out there because I want a selfie with Hyapatia Lee. I just do. It's interesting to me, too, that we're having so many of these cups now. High Times has now just kind of realized that, look, we don't need to just have once a year at these places. We can do it every couple, 3 months or so. And since Seattle and Portland and Denver aren't cooperating, they're going to have two or three in Clio, Michigan. They're going to have two or three in the National Orange Center. They're going to go back out to Jamaica. They're even looking at Anchorage, Alaska. So we're just going to get more and more of these. And places like Portland, Seattle, and Denver are just going to have to get around to it. You know, going to have to get this figured out. We can no longer continue to have a situation where the three top legal cities in America do not allow for any sort of legal cannabis gatherings. That's insane. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, Dr. Sanjay Gupta reacted to the DEA's failure to reschedule. Also, later on in the hour, a look at Colorado's latest marijuana sales figures, plus more from me and Chief Greenbud at the Boise Hemp Fest. Oh, and sorry for the no call-in number. Our number got disconnected. We're looking at getting a new one. We should have one soon, so I'll let you know when we do. Be right back.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Every strain, every sale, every medical study. Keep it right here on the Cannabis Radio Network.
The cannabis business industry is growing. Business is booming. And as new opportunities arise in newly legalized states, each market is getting more competitive. Today, it takes more than just being a good grower. Do you have the resources to market and handle this ever-changing business landscape? Let Canna Management Corporation help you grow your canna business with our vast resources and experience to make your business a fully functional service company. Financial management, HR, sales, marketing, efficiency, and more. CMC has the experience and the expertise to improve your business and help you better meet the demands of your clients and customers. Call Canna Management Corporation and let our team get you ready to grow. 415-269-8015. That's 415-269-8015. Or visit canna-management.com.
Welcome to Cannabis Confidential. I'm your host, Dr. Dina. We've got David Faustino on the line, Bud Bundy from Married with Children. Did you feel nervous being a celebrity walking into a weed store?
I don't remember at all being like, ooh, I'm scared someone's going to take my picture.
What are they going to say? Bud Bundy smokes bud? I mean, come on.
It wouldn't be a big shocker. Hey, this is David Faustino, and I'm on Cannabis Confidential with my girl Dr. Dina on CannabisRadio.com.
Get the latest updates on the Russ Belville Show by following Radical Russ on Twitter and liking The Russ Belville Show on Facebook.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Yar, thar be pirates here. Har, 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 har.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 9 after the hour here on CannabisRadio.com. Thanks for being here. Make sure you check out the entire CannabisRadio.com lineup. We've got the best in marijuana podcasts for every angle of the marijuana movement. You're a grower? We got The Grow Show with Kyle Cushman. You into celebrities? We got Cannabis Confidential with Dr. Dina. You old school? We got the Tommy Chong podcast. Interested in science? We got Burning Issues with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. You like activism? We got Hemp Present with Vivian McPeak. We got all sorts of great shows and our grassroots marketing shows that you can check out. Interviews with various ganjapreneurs throughout the industry. A lot of them that I do out there in the on the events where you see me. So check it all out. It's at CannabisRadio.com. Also, some updates on my stuff. I was mentioning how I don't have a phone number right now. It used to be 971-533-7111. We lost that number. It expired, and I'm kind of pissed off about it because I've had the number for like 4 years. And it's one of them Skype voice numbers. and it said it was expiring. And so I went to renew the number, and it would only renew with a different number. It wouldn't let me renew with the same number. So I couldn't keep that number. So it pissed me off. And I haven't renewed the number since, because when I renew, I'm going to get an 800 number so that it's free for you to call in. And if the Skype number changes, I can just redirect the 800 number and not have to change it again. So still working on that. Give me for the rest of August. I'm spending the rest of August trying to get all this infrastructure stuff taken care of. And that's one of the things on my list. Another thing on my list is the RadicalRust.com website, which is currently down. And someone in my chat room says, get a Google voice number. Same idea. Whatever number I get, that's fine. But I'm going to get a toll-free to point to it. But also going to work on the RadicalRust.com site. We're getting that all moved to new servers and such, and I've got to do a new design on the back end of it. So right now there's just a landing page and a little bit of an explanation for VIPs and advertisers and sponsors. And if you sign up with your VIP or advertiser account right now, obviously the site's down, but you'll still get your ad on into the podcast, and it's free for the rest of August. Free for the rest, actually, the next month. When you sign up, you'll get a month free. It won't charge you until next month. So if you want to get in on the VIP thing, or you want to get an advertisement or a sponsorship in, do it now because you get a free month. It's all at RadicalRust.com. It's all handled through PayPal. And the PayPal account has been upgraded now so that you don't have to have PayPal. You can give a credit card number or a bank electronic check. You don't have to have PayPal to pay me through PayPal. So that should help out a little bit as well. The redesign of RadicalRust.com is going to be pretty cool, though. We're going to have, once again, our VIP memberships that are going to give you exclusive access to the replays of Toker Talk Radio this hour. It'll also give you exclusive access to my archives. Over 8 years now of shows and interviews and events that I've covered. We're going to have that in a searchable database, too, so that you'll be able to just find out whatever clip you want to get and listen to it on demand. That'll only be available for VIPs. We're also going to have the Radical Rust store and all sorts of new T-shirt and sticker designs available with discounts for our VIPs, of course. So working on all of that, get the podcast hosted up there. And I know a lot of you have been waiting for this one. The Radical Rust web show could be returning. Now, I'm still working out how I'm going to do this. One option is to do it the way I used to do it, with just, you know, throw a webcam up on the corner and just video me doing the radio show. I might go back to that. That's going to require at least a second laptop to handle the video. But if I can get the facilities, I'll do it. Or I've got another option. And that might be that I create an entirely new video show. And I've got some ideas roaming around in my head, but basically a half hour weekly web show. I don't know, maybe This Week in Weed, whatever we end up calling it. But a half hour weekly web show that I might start doing on the Radical Rust YouTube channel. So it's going to require some cameras, going to require some laptops, some infrastructure, some external hard drives, things like that, some software. But that's kind of the direction I want to go with the media production. So stay tuned. I'll keep you posted. You'll always be the first to know right here on the Russ Belville Show. All right. So let me talk a little bit about this DEA rescheduling thing. We mentioned it in the rant yesterday about how the problem is that when we ask to reschedule cannabis out of Schedule 1, we're asking to shove a leaf-shaped drug through a pill-shaped hole. People get confused about the rescheduling thing all the time because, you know, Schedule 1 is supposedly the worst, most dangerous drugs on the planet, heroin and LSD and PCP and pot. And everybody thinks that's a mistake. But Schedule 1 isn't necessarily that the drugs are more dangerous than any other drugs. It has to do with their lack of medical use and their danger of abuse. And then people get hung up on the lack of medical use because they say, wait, there's 25 medical marijuana states. But yeah, but those are states that have determined there's a medical use in their state. No single state determines that there's medical use in the country. And it sounds insane, but that's the way the law works. Law and logic don't always work together. The entity that decides whether there's a medical use in the United States is the Food and Drug Administration. And the Food and Drug Administration does that through the processes that also involve the Department of Health and Human Services and the National Institutes of Drug Abuse. And all of this is governed by the Controlled Substances Act. And the Controlled Substances Act is a system that is designed to evaluate pills, generally, also handles liquids and inhalers, but basically pills, a known quantity of a specific set of molecules. No plant can ever get through that process because no plant ever produces a known set of standardized molecules. Two buds from the same plant could have different cannabinoid and terpenoid profiles, much less two buds from different plants of the same strain, much less two buds from two completely different strains. It's never going to get through it. And we keep banging our head against this. But there's medical use. But these studies show it's safe. But these studies show that this is good. And it doesn't matter because it won't fit through the pill-shaped hole. All those studies are going to do, all that wailing about its safety, all that's going to do is embolden pharmaceutical companies to extract the constituents out of cannabis and to put them into pills into known dosages of consistent quality. And those pills will get through the pill-shaped hole just fine. They'll be called Sativex and Epidiolex and whatever other combination of THC and CBD and CBG and CBN and anything else they extract out of it, so long as it's standardized. They could come up with an extract that exactly mimics the profile of a cannabis bud. You can take a cannabis bud and say, all right, it's 20% THC and 2% CBD and this percent CBG and this percent CBN and this percent linalool and myrcene and micrine and whatever other terpenoid. You could get that down to the 0.1% on each of those to match the profile of a particular bud exactly. And that medicine would make it through the FDA because that medicine would always be that same exact profile every time. So it gets frustrating. It gets frustrating having this debate. It feels like having a checker on a chessboard. Like we're playing checkers on a chessboard. Our piece doesn't have any moves it can make in this game. We might be the best checkers players in the world. Checkers might be the most fun game in the world. But our checker piece does not have a move it can make on the chessboard. We are bringing our baseball bat and mitt to the ice hockey rink. We are fighting the wrong game in the wrong arena. And that's why, for so long, I've been a proponent of this Box Canyon medical marijuana theory, because the way the game is set, that's the only place medical marijuana can go, is into the pharmacy. That's the end point of medical marijuana. That is its final destination, is the pharmacy. If people want the plant, if they want to use it for medical use, you got to get behind the right to farm that crop, regardless of why you want to use it. I look at it as something that supersedes our Constitution. It is one of our inalienable rights granted to us by our Creator. Among the others, like life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But our Ninth Amendment even recognizes that just because we laid out, enumerated a bunch of rights in the Constitution doesn't mean we don't still have our natural rights. And if we don't have a natural right to plant seeds and sow crops, then our dollars aren't worth the George Washington that's printed on them.
Oh, 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 oh!
I love my chat room. John Chambers says, wait, isn't checkers played on the same board as chess? Yes, you're right. And that analogy was starting to bother me the longer I went with it. I should have said the Monopoly thimble. Like you just put the Monopoly thimble on the chessboard. Hey, they can't all be perfect. I try my best. Happy 420.
We have your smoking section right here. This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Dr. Dabber, hurry. Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct. Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I am a round peg in a square hole.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Hello, Mr. Man. Hi. I'm working. I'm sorry. No food till this is done. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Hope you had a great safety briefing. I feel a lot safer, don't you? We got some great numbers coming in from thecannabist.co, courtesy of the Denver Post out there. They got the sales figures for the first half of 2016 from the Colorado Department of Revenue. And according to the figures, Colorado marijuana shops sold nearly $600 million of recreational and medical cannabis in the first half of 2016. The analysts expect the sales will reach $1.35 billion by year's end. The month of June was $73.6 million in recreational marijuana sales, the second biggest month ever. April 2016, the 420 holiday month, had a $76.5 million holiday. So it's amazing looking at the chart because the recreational figures just continue to climb. The medical figures are kind of leveling out. They're still stuck in around $40 million, give or take, depending on the month. But looking back to June of 2015, rec sales were $50 million. Now they're $76 million. So, an increase of half, just about half, $73 million. This will easily eclipse the 2015 total of $996 million in sales, about $1 billion. Again, they're expecting about $1.35 billion in Colorado for this year. Extracts are a 24% share of total sales. Edibles have a 13% share. And flower sales have dropped slightly to 56% of the share. So about one out of four purchases there, Colorado, are for concentrates. There's the 2.9% sales tax, state sales tax, the 10% sales tax, and a 15% excise tax. In the month of June, that led to collection of $26.6 million. I'm sorry, $5.4 million collected in June. The yearly total, $26.6 million in taxes from the excise tax. For the first 6 months, if you include the medical fees as well, they've gotten $88 million in taxes and fees on medical and recreational cannabis in the state of Colorado. Now, I know some of our opponents, the prohibitionists, will poo-poo those numbers. They'll say, oh, it's just a small percentage of the GDP of that state or the small percentage of the budget of that state. Yeah, it's only $100 million. It's really not that much tax money compared to how much, you know, they have billion-dollar budgets. It's just a drop in the bucket. Yeah, always trying to minimize it, right? It's only $100 million in taxes we made. Now, if it were the Mexican cartels that were caught with $100 million worth of weed, do you think they'd minimize how little weed got caught? It was only $100 million worth. No, that would be a big effing deal, wouldn't it? So you can't have it both ways, prohibitionists. You can't be all thrilled by nine figures in seizures, but not be thrilled by transferring that nine figures into tax revenue that benefits the citizens. That $1.35 billion in revenue in a market that's going on legally in Colorado is $1.35 billion that's not being transacted illegally. That's $1.35 billion that's not enriching criminal cartels and helping to build schools and helping small towns. I was just in Idaho for the Boise Hemp Fest, and unbeknownst to me, now I had understood that there were retail bans all across Eastern Oregon. So I thought that the closest place you could find a recreational pot shop to Boise was either in Bend or the Dalles, like 4 hours away. Turns out, though, that the little town of Huntington, Oregon, is in Baker County and has not banned, and they have a recreational pot shop there. Now, you got to understand, Huntington, Oregon is small by small town standards. The Oregon-Idaho border at that point where I-84 crosses it is the Snake River. And right there on the Snake River is the city of Ontario, but it's in Malheur County, which has banned recreational cannabis. If it had not, people from the Boise, Nampa, Caldwell, Meridian metro area, which makes up about 3 out of 4 people that live in Idaho, would be going to Ontario to get their legal weed. Because back in the day, when us pot smokers wanted to go get a pipe, we had to drive to Ontario, an hour away, just to buy a pipe, because Idaho's paraphernalia laws were so strict. There used to be a place there called the Red Eye Hut. Big Al ran the Red Eye Hut. You had to go there and get your pipe. But Ontario has turned its nose up at any possible legal marijuana business because the whole county has banned marijuana businesses. So you have to drive another 25 miles. After you cross the Snake River, you drive another 25 miles, kind of northwest on I-84. You end up crossing into Baker County. And there's an exit there for Huntington. Now, when you take the Huntington exit off the freeway, you then proceed another 4 or 5 miles on completely barren, nowheresville, bleak, starkitude road. Part of the road actually makes you slow down to 25 miles an hour because it's got those wagon rut kind, or those washboard rut, you know, dirt road kind of thing for about, you know, quarter mile, and then you're back onto pavement. And eventually you're around this corner on this rural highway, and you reach the town of Huntington. Population, I don't know, 700 maybe? It's a little town. And that little town of Huntington's got the one legal pot shop that's called 420ville, and it's got a 1,000-plant outdoor grow, commercial grow that's going. There's some pictures of it. I took some video of it on my Facebook page. If you want to check it out, facebook.com/radicalrus. But this is in Huntington, and talking to the people in Idaho about it, like everybody knows about it because whenever you go to Huntington and you go to 420ville, the parking lot is packed with cars with Idaho plates. It's all the Idaho. That's the closest place to Idaho you can buy legal weed. And so people are. And so the one of the Oregon newspapers, Eastern Oregon newspapers, did a story on this and how legal pot in Huntington has saved that town. How retailers that were going out of business because it's a, you know, it's a debt. It's one of those kind of towns that used to be a town that was on one of the major highways. But then once the freeway came in beside it, that town withered away. You've heard that story in numerous states, I'm sure. Well, now it's revitalized again because there's reason to get off that freeway and go to Huntington to get the legal weed. Restaurants and grocery stores and real estate and everything in that little town is starting to take off again because of legal weed and because the rest of Eastern Oregon keeps it prohibited. And of course, because Idaho keeps it prohibited. Now, one of the sad parts of that tale is how Oregon State Police will hang out there, hang around that 420ville, spot the different cars with the Idaho license plates, spot the people coming out of the 420ville with little purchases, and phone ahead to the Idaho State Police and the Payette County Police in Idaho to let them know that, hey, such and such type of car with such and such Idaho plate number blah, blah, blah is coming across the border, and they were just at the pot shop. You want to keep an eye out on these guys, hoping they can get you on some pretext stop and then bust you for the weed you just bought. That's another reason why in the rant I talked about how Idaho needs to go for something like decrim. Because decrim would allow the cops to keep this little racket going. They could continue to get their, and it'd be easier for the cops too. You wouldn't get much law enforcement opposition to this. You'd get some from the prison guards union, because Idaho has that private prison, you know, Corrections Corporations of America, I believe, that runs that private prison that requires it to be 90% full. They're going to oppose it. Some of the cops might oppose it from the asset forfeiture point of view, but from the point of view of not being able to make the money, no. In fact, I bet a lot of those cops would much rather hand out a $300 ticket for weed than to have to cuff and stuff somebody, take them all the way back, and deal with all that. Anyway, the state of Idaho, such, you know, so many friends and family there that I worry about that are still tokers, that every day are risking misdemeanors and possible felonies and losing their kids. When you're at something like the Boise Hemp Fest too, it really sticks out too, because, you know, I go to Hemp Fest and these events all over the place. Like, I even go to Texas, right? And I'll go to an event in Texas, and there'll be glass displays there. There'll be, guy, you know, a head shop that shows up with a table full of pipes and, you know, that kind of stuff. Not at the Idaho shows. No, there was no glass at the Boise Hemp Fest that I saw. There's not even, like, the CBD oils or hemp salves or any of that kind of stuff. People selling tie-dye, couple nonprofits, and all the rest pretty much standard kind of stuff. That's how strict it is in Idaho, folks. And that's why it's so tough to get things rolling there, is because anyone who is an activist there or wants to be an activist there, if they stick their head up, they get busted. They've got to literally have nothing to lose and be completely self-employed to be able to pull it off. Really, it should be me back there. I should... And folks, I tell you, I consider it every other month or so, especially as my folks get older. Tell you what, if my folks got older and infirm in some way, they needed someone to take care of them, I just might move back to Idaho. I might have to move back to Idaho to take care of my folks and then be that guy who's got nothing to lose, who can stand up and be the proud pot smoker, who can get on the evening news and talk about it. Not have to worry about losing child custody or any sort of property or any sort of licensing. It just might happen. Not soon, I hope. let's let my folks get into their 80s, can we? Can we let my folks get into their 80s, travel around in the RV for a while before I have to go back to Idaho and legalize pot? I've kind of grown fond of legal weed here in Oregon. Anyway, let's take a trip back to Idaho, where my good friend Chief Greenbud from Nashville, Tennessee, showed up to serenade us with his acoustic guitar. I got up and joined him for some background vocals. You'll recognize the tune. It's Chief Greenbud's lyrics. You can smoke as much as you like.
And it is. It is a struggle. Because, you know, I'm the kind of guy, especially with the ladies, man, I like you just to smoke as much as you like. This is going to be my last song. I want to thank Grass City. I want to thank Sierra Franks from the Boise Hemp Fest for bringing me out here.
Rastaman Vibration Man.
And Russ Belleville. Well, it's so sticky, smells so nice. And I can keep it blazing all night. And baby, you can smoke as much as you like.
You can smoke as much.
I said you can smoke as much as you like. Well, pass that bowl, hit that pipe. We'll be high as a kite. Baby, you can smoke as much as you like.
Smoke as much as you like.
I said you can smoke as much as you like. Well, you're a little cutie, I hope you want to use me. Let's smoke a little bud, and we can see a movie. Say what you really want to hear. I got more weed than Budweiser's got beer. And if you smoke this fatty, you won't feel your body. You get so high, you're going to need your mom. I'll roll it, you lick it, I'll light it, you hit it. No, you ain't ever got to buy it. It's so sticky. Smells so nice, and I can keep it blazing all night. And baby, you can smoke as much as you like.
You
can smoke as much as you like. Pass that bow, hit that pipe. We'll be high as a kite. Baby, you can smoke as much as you like.
Smoke as much as you like.
You can smoke as much as you like. Cause when you wanna smoke out, I can be your Boy Scout. I'm always prepared, cause weed is what I'm all about. I don't wanna see you pout, there won't be a nickel doubt. Long as I'm around, you'll never ever be without. Long as you got me, you don't ever gotta buy it. Got some of God's own if you think you wanna try it. 6 gram blunts, I only roll the dankest shit. God don't act so shy. And wrap your lips around this and smoke this fatty. You won't feel your body. You get so high, you're gonna need your mommy. I'll roll it, you lick it, I'll light it, you hit it. No, you ain't ever gotta buy it. It's so sticky, smells so nice. I can keep it blazing all night. Baby, you can smoke as much as you like.
Smoke as much as
I say you
like.
Can smoke as much as you like. Hit that pipe. We'll be high as a kite. Baby, you can smoke as much as you like.
Smoke as much as you like.
You can smoke as much as you like. Thank you guys so much. My name is Chief Greenbud.
Thank you, Steve Fun. I'm Radical Russ. I'm from Portland, Oregon. I'm on CannabisRadio.com. I do a live 2-hour daily talk radio show on the news and information and science concerning cannabis. I write a twice weekly column on HighTimes.com. I write 5 days a week on MarijuanaPolitics.com. And I travel the country speaking at these events all around from coast to coast. So much for the lazy stoner stereotype. I don't have a lot of time up here. We got to get this band up. These guys look awesome. I can't wait to hear them. So one quick note. As much as I love my job, as much as it's wonderful traveling the country, smoking weed, writing about weed, researching weed, it's also heartbreaking. Because people know I'm the weed guy. And then they tell me their stories. Last time I came back here to Idaho, I got to hear a story from a young woman who suffers from chronic migraine. And we're talking not like you get a migraine and then you don't have a migraine. This woman has migraine all the time. Like, it never goes away. It varies in the pain scale from a 4 to a 10, but she's always got pain. And she's tried everything. She's tried every pharmaceutical, every drug, every therapy. They're even starting talking about cutting into her head and also shooting Botox into her skull. And so, finally, She's nervous. She's a Christian lady. She's a conservative. She'd never been around pot or anything, but she got to talk to me about it. She said, do you think cannabis could help? I said, not only do I think it could help, I know it can help. She goes, what do I do? I said, well, you could drive to Huntington, Oregon, about an hour and a half away, and go to the recreational shop and buy some weed. Oh, I wouldn't want to do that. I'd want to do it medically. Could I get a medical card? Well, you used to be able to get a medical card in Oregon, but you can't anymore. And even if you did, the nearest medical dispensary is in Ontario. Still have to drive an hour. So if I got some and I came home and I used it, what would happen? Oh, if they caught you? Oh, well, you'd go to jail and you'd be fined and you'd lose your teaching position and you'd probably not be able to work with kids ever again. And having to tell her that, having to tell someone who'd never understood that this was a big deal, when she finally had some sort of hope, and then I have to crush it? Don't make me have to crush that hope again. Please, Idaho, get involved with the Idaho Medical Marijuana Association. Help them out. Pass something here so my friends and my family don't have to keep hearing that bad news. I'm Russ Belville, RadicalRuss.com. Thank you.
That was the final speech I gave there at the Boise Hemp Fest with my mom and dad sitting out there in the audience. It's nice to see them. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the Olympics. Michael Phelps, the greatest Olympian ever, broke a 2,100-year-old record, set an all-time record, and he smokes pot and drinks booze. We're going to talk about drugs in the Olympics when we return.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Earn your PhD in THC monetization with CannabisRadio.com. Don't be late.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestle trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com. Growing green to generate more green.
Hello to all you happy herbalizers, smiling trippy hippies, and everyone who believes in freedom and tolerance. This is The Grow Show, and I'm Kyle Cushman.
From food to fuel, from remedy to resource.
Welcome my guest, Ed Rosenthal, the guru of ganja. Let me ask you, right now I hear your lighter clicking. Are you smoking indoor, or are you smoking sun grown?
What am I smoking? I'm smoking concentrate.
Way to get out of the answer there. So you're truly like the king, right? You just clap your hands and somebody brings you a bowl and you're all set, right?
I wish that were the case.
The Grow Show with Kyle Cushman, only on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I beat China all the time.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Farrock has sent him a package? Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a skunk. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 45 after the hour. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the Olympics. It's been fun watching the Rio Olympics this year. And, of course, the star of the Olympics would be the winner of 6 medals, 5 gold and 1 silver, Michael Phelps. That's right. Michael Phelps, at age 31, won 5 gold medals and 1 silver medal in the 100-meter butterfly, I believe it was. See, if he wasn't a pot smoker. You know, there's people out there that really believe that shit. I have these internet arguments all the time. I was just on one on Twitter with somebody named Allison Chains. And the argument was something about, you know how pot smokers, they're not living up to their potential. They're wasting their opportunities and so forth. And you know, I point out my daily routines. Like, dude, I get up at 6. I'm up at 6 or 7 every morning. I write an article, send it off. I research for a show. I write a show. I put a show together. I do 10 hours a week. I do 2 articles for High Times, 5 or so for Marijuana Politics, and travel the country 80,000 air miles so far this year. What is marijuana? How is it blowing my potential, right? And he actually came back with something to the effect of, well, how much better would it get? Like, can you give me a break? So, yeah, there are people that believe, well, gee, if Michael Phelps had just not smoked so a pot. So he gets 5 gold medals at this Olympics, 1 silver. And he ended up breaking a 2,100-year-old Olympic record. This pot smoker did. Yeah. This, of course, is going back to the ancient Olympiad of 156 BC, as we all remember. And in the Olympiad of 156 BC, the much-heralded athlete Leonidas won his 12th individual gold medal by succeeding in the 3 events, getting the gold medal at the 3 events, the 3 track events that he competed in, that he had won for the 4 consecutive Olympics, 156 BC, 160 BC, 164 BC, 168 BC. BC, folks, before Christ, 4 straight Olympics, he won 3 different events. So he had 12 individual gold medals. That was the Olympic record for 2,100 years. And then Michael Phelps went and got his 13th individual gold and broke a 2,100-year-old record. And now, on Saturday night, he won his 28th Olympic medal, 23 gold medals, 28 medals total, to become the all-time leading medalist. He's got more medals than anyone ever has had in the Olympics. So this guy's a guy who smokes pot, and you'll remember he got busted he got busted January 31st of 2009. That's when the Michael Phelps bong photo made it to the, was it the Daily Sun in the UK? One of those newspapers. And I remember that because that was my birthday. That was my 41st birthday. Happy birthday to me. And it was a huge deal, I think, because the Michael Phelps bong photo shattered the illusion that pot smokers are unmotivated or unsuccessful or lazy. Just destroyed it. We'd tried to destroy it before. You could say, oh, well, Bill Clinton smoked pot and Barack Obama smoked pot and Carl Sagan smoked pot. And for a lot of people, they say, yeah, but they didn't smoke pot while they were working. Or, yeah, but they smoked pot in their youth and then gave it up and then they became great. Well, the Michael Phelps bong photo shattered that, because here was the Olympian in the prime of his life, 23 years old, had just won 8 gold medals in the Olympics, caught smoking a bong. And that was also important, because it wasn't just any bong, it was a big old bong. This was a professional level bong. This was not something a first time pot smoker would be smoking. He held that bong properly. He had the right technique. Had he been caught smoking a joint, I don't think it would have had the same cultural significance as the fact they caught him with a full-on Cheech and Chong level bong in his face just 3 months after having won 8 gold medals. So it being such a big pro bong leads you to understand that this wasn't his first rodeo. This is somebody who's has been smoking pot, not had smoked pot, and then won 8 gold medals, has been throughout his life smoking pot. And that's not Michael Phelps' only indiscretion. In 2004, Michael Phelps was busted for a drunk driving incident, got a DUI. He also got a DUI in 2014. So 5 years before the bong and 5 years after the bong, he got DUIs. So now he's won 28 medals. He says he's going to retire now. And why shouldn't he? I mean, my God, man. Although I would not at all be shocked to see a 35-year-old Michael Phelps come back for the next Olympics. Wouldn't shock me a bit. Wouldn't that be something? Just come back for maybe he just races in 3 events. Maybe some of the team, you know, the medleys or something. Try to up that medal count to 30. I wouldn't be surprised if he did it. And of course, the other story out of the Olympics, so Michael Phelps probably gave us the iconic, you know, athlete, all-time greatest Olympian and medal eater, and a really good meme. Have you seen that Phelps face meme? A really good meme out of that. But I think Phelps got beat by Usain Bolt this week. Usain Bolt, of course, is the Jamaican sprinter who is the fastest man on the planet, has won the gold medal for the past 3 Olympics in the 100-meter dash. And, of course, the photo, they've got a photo of him winning his semifinal where he's a full body in front of the rest of the field. And he's looking back over his shoulder to see the rest of them behind him. And he's kind of got his famous grin on his face, his smile on his face. He looks like the Roadrunner from one of the old Roadrunner cartoons, looking back at the coyote or something. And it's just been an iconic picture, and everybody's going nuts about it. But, of course, Usain Bolt is from Jamaica, a country that has a lot of understanding of ganja and the culture around it, and admits to having used that in his day as well. And it hasn't seemed to hurt his development any. So these Olympics have been very good from that perspective. One other Olympic perspective, of course, would be our judoka, Nick Del Popolo, who I don't think medaled. But Nick Del Popolo was disqualified from the Olympics in 2012 for failing a drug test back when it was 15 nanograms in your urine that would get you busted. Well, now the standard has been raised to 150 nanograms in urine. And Nick Del Popolo made it to the Olympic team. That's not to say he's still consuming cannabis. There's no reports one way or the other. But we are starting to see in the sports world some movement culturally on the marijuana issue that we haven't seen a similar movement from other avenues of advocacy. The sports world and its embrace of cannabis for its medical purposes is going to break us in to that don't give a shit demographic. There's a lot of people out there who don't give a shit about marijuana. They just don't give a shit. It's not part of their culture. It's not part of their world. No, it's not even on their radar. Some of them ignorant to the point, apathetic to the point, they don't even know it's really illegal, right? They think if someone gets busted for weed, the cops take their weed and, you know, give them a slap on the wrist or something. They don't know that people really go to jail for this and lose their houses and lose their jobs and careers and homes over this kind of stuff. So to get through to them, you got to get through to them on something that's meaningful to them. Now, yeah, the medical marijuana suddenly becomes really meaningful when they get cancer or when their grandma gets glaucoma or something like that. Then they have an awakening. That's not going to happen for everybody. So what is it that's going to get into the don't give a shit demographic? Well, for some of them, it's going to be their love of sports. For some of them, it's going to be hearing Jim McMahon from the 1985 Bears talking about his use of medical cannabis helps him deal with all the ravages of concussions and neck injuries he had to suffer through. For some of them, it's going to be hearing from a Eugene Monroe or a Ricky Williams. Although, to be honest, and I got to be the guy that says it, Jim McMahon's endorsement's going to be probably the biggest one out of them, and maybe Kyle Turley, but definitely Jim McMahon because he's got that name recognition, but also Kyle Turley because, let's just be frank, they're white, and that's going to give them more legitimacy. They're going to get more benefit of the doubt from a lot of that don't give a shit demographic out there. They're going to look at some of the black players who are coming out after this thing. Medical marijuana, right. Mm-hmm. Growing up in the hood, right. Mm-hmm. Weed, sure, right. Coming from a Jim McMahon, though, or coming from a Kyle Turley, or a Nate, is it Nate Eben is his name, I think? Mark Stipnosky, perhaps. Coming from those guys, coming from white guys, it's going to resonate better in some of those, you know, deep enclaves of football fandom. I know. I live in that world too. It's kind of interesting because if you don't know, if you're a new listener to this, one of my alter egos is the Au Gratin Cheesehead. I am the greatest Green Bay Packers fan from Idaho. Potatoes and cheese, Au Gratin. Get it? And in that persona, I hang out here in Portland. They have this huge country western bar that is the Packers bar, basically. About 200, 300 Packers fans pack this thing for every Sunday or Thursday or Monday or Saturday, for that matter, whatever night the game's on, and take over the place. And I have to be around that beer-drinking, football-loving demographic. And not all of them are open to the medical marijuana issue. But they will be when they find out some of their favorite players are. Well, folks, that's it. That's all the time we got for this show. Time flies when you legalize. Tune in tomorrow for another 2 hours where we've got a couple of great guests for you coming up. We'll be joined by cannabis entrepreneur Bo Money. And then John Hudak from Brookings will be here to talk about that DEA rescheduling rejection. For everyone here at Cannabis Radio, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.